गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नुतिभिः सेदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. So as we said, the first verse we chant each time. So one more time we'll chant it part by part, then we just chant it through each time so you can learn it. Right? So it's started with Rupam Drishyam Lochanam Drik Tad Drishyam Drik Tumanasam दृश्याधिवृतयः साक्षी दृकेव न तु दृश्यते. So this we said is what we called sangraha vakya. It's the whole teaching in a nutshell, and then everything else, then in the first half at least of this text, is going to be an elaboration on this. Everything slowly builds on that. Where we said that, first of all, how do I know the world is there? I have the senses, so I experience the world. And you say, what about my body? Well, how do you know your body? You see it and you feel it, right? Sense of touch, you're feeling it. So it's also the senses like this. Without the sense of touch, if you were numb, the body would be something you see in everything. Of course, there's some identification because of movement, etc. But it doesn't even start from there. It starts from the senses. And then says, okay, as we had that exercise, we saw if I just stay with the seeing, it's constant. Forms, names come and go, but the seeing is constant. And the very interesting thing we said is that we stay with the what I'm seeing, where that I'm seeing is constant. So I'm staying with that which goes, but it's like always I want to go out from home. But just to be home, I don't like to stay there. Like that. Some people are like that. They're too restless. So we're too restless. We're so much caught extroverts, so much caught up in what I'm seeing, not that I'm seeing. Because seeing is constant, hearing is constant. Then we said now all of the senses, there must be some organ behind these, which is which is like the traffic police or like the hub where it all comes to there. And we said it can't be the consciousness. If you said the consciousness directly, then in deep sleep you'd see also because the consciousness is there, you're aware, but you're not connected to senses. So we said there has something behind. We said the mind is behind. That's what this verse also said. The mind is behind. They all come to the mind. Because the mind also integrates. I see you and I hear you. You all the senses together, it's integrating, it gets that information. So the mind is concerned. From the mind's perspective, then seeing is an object, right? Because it's information coming through there. When you close the eyes, the mind is still there, right? I don't hear anything, mind is still there. So still it's there behind them. And the next we said, but then behind the mind, there must be something else. And, here calling it Sakshi, the witnessing consciousness, witnessing awareness. Behind the mind is that. This is, and it gets to there. And then we said, okay, very good. We went this far. Where do we go next? Saying, no, there isn't any next. Sorry, That's the end of the line. And he'll say, how come? How can I know it's there? You say, I am and I'm aware. I know. How do you know that? Do you need some means for knowing that? Right? No, you don't need it. It's self-evident, right? Self-evident, because if you needed something to prove it to yourself, I'd ask you, are you aware? Are you aware? You know, and you'll say, 1 minute, let me check. Let me ask my spouse because I need somebody to confirm it, right? Let me think, right? Like you ask somebody, do you feel like going for a walk? Oh, let me see how I'm feeling in this. They may take a few moments. Are you aware? Let me just check and see. No, you don't have to check and see, right? So it's self, you know, there's no self-evident. Doesn't depend on something else like this. So the first 3 points here, the first ones were discussed, and now the Sakshi is being discussed in the next verse, which is number 5. So let's go there. Because last week we discussed about number 4. Actually, just 1 point before we go into it, because last week one of the questions that Yuri asked about, I think in the end it's that bit clarity of motive in the end is the question. I think maybe that is. What happens is there's something interesting, this in our Tattva Bodha class. In the introduction, some points taken from Swami Paramarthanandaji's teachings, because he's the expert, amazing how he'll take any text, any small section, and he's going to break up into some points, like those 5 points about the consciousness, right? Not part product of the body, etc. Come from him. He's amazing how he can make a few points to make the whole idea very clear. So he gives a few points on what are the benefits of Vedantic study. I won't go into all of them, but one of them is Aghata Nivritti. Aghata Nivritti takes away becomes a shock absorber. The difficulties come, problems come, so you're not as disturbed by them because you understand you're something deeper, not on the surface, so it doesn't catch you as much. Now, because of this, then the other benefit he gives is what he calls dakshata prapti, dakshata dexterity, same thing. So you become more efficient in what you do. Because as bhokta, as experiencer, if I identify very much as the experiencer, the emotions will be up and down. The worries will pull me here and there because of the identification. Because of that, the karta, as a doer, I won't be able to act as well, right? Because when you're very disturbed, very worried, you don't function as well, right? You can't do things the same way like this. So in this way, I think it's connected to what you had asked, that means that the less I'm identifying as the karta bhokta, as the doer and the enjoyer, the easier for me to do things without ego, because lack of identification, the motive will be much more clear. There won't be ulterior motive anyway. Somebody who really is elevated, there won't be ulterior motive because there's no ego involved. So I think that this helps when you get as one has more clarity, then the motive is clear. There won't be a selfish motive. Why do I do this? Why that? It'll be simple and clear like that. So I think that this might also help to answer that question that he had. So in any case, let's move to number 5. Let's chant it part by part. No deti nastamet yesha. Na vriddhim yati nakshayam. Swayam vibhatyatanyani. Bhasayet sadhanam vina. No deti nastamet yesha na vriddhim yati nakshayam swayam vibhatyathanyani bhasayet sadhanam vina. And the translation is saying, the pure awareness, chittihi, is neither born nor destroyed. It does not grow nor decline. It is spontaneous, self-evident knowledge principle and illumines all other things without any means. So interesting here, swayam is one's nature, right? One's own. So here in the translation very nicely was put as spontaneous. So spontaneous doesn't mean spontaneously I decided to go to the movie. That's something different. That's a whim. That's that spontaneity. Spontaneous means it's choiceless. Because do you have a choice to be aware? You have a choice to go to the movie or not. You have a choice to come to the class or not. You have a choice to listen or not. You have a choice to think something or else. All these things, they're choices. In activities, they're choices in this. But in being, in awareness, something's nature, there's no choice. Like the water chooses to be frozen, chooses to, you know, to melt and flow around, chooses to become steam, you know, and figuratively. But it can't choose to be, you know, to be made out of something other than H2O. Its nature is its nature. Something's nature is like that. So choiceless. So one term given for the consciousness is choiceless awareness. You're choiceless, you're aware. So you're spontaneously said, because spontaneously you're not, it's not an action that you're doing. And that's an important thing here. It's saying that the consciousness, in its light, everything else is, it's saying it illumines everything else. But I may think that that's an action that the consciousness got up one morning and said, let me illumine everything. Okay, let's go. But the thing is, it happens by, it's its nature. It's not that it's doing. That's not an action, right? If it were an action, for an action, there has to be something separate, right? We said to do an action, you have to be somewhere. What you're doing has to be somewhere else. Like this, there has to be. And also to do an action, one of the things said here, sadhanam vina, without any means, without any instruments. I think we pointed out last class about that one point, that any activity, there are other means involved. Karakas, we say. There's a subject, there's an object. There has to be an instrument to do it. So I'm speaking to you, so the instrument is, right, my vocal cords and mouth, etc., you know. Or I'm sending the message, so I'm using my computer, I'm typing. That's the instrument. And the action needs a location, right? Where is class? Oh, class is on Zoom. Class is at this and this location. Where are we meeting like this? You know, for what is it being done? Like this, all this. What's causing it? So all these things. So since there's no, the moment it's saying there are no means, it can't be an action. An action needs means, okay? And very interestingly, since we're talking about Sakshi, which is our myself, right? With Sakshi, we say Sakshi, and we put it very comfortably as something there, and we write all about it and leave it in the book. But Sakshi talking about me, the conscious being, right? I'm the witnessing awareful being, like this. So what happens is, we said illumines, but not as a verb. It's a verb, but it's not an action. It's not doing something. You say, I am. Is there an action there? There's no action, but there's a verb. I am, and I know I am. So there's no verb there. So similarly like this, in this way. So the here also, it's saying, okay, so where's the conscious? It says it doesn't rise and set like the sun, like that's really the words we're using, the same as rising and setting of the sun, because the sun at night, right, it's gone, it's set. We see it go beyond the rising, it sets like this. So the earth turned, it set. So there's some differences there. So you'll say, now I go to sleep, so I'm not there, right? I'm in the dream, then deep sleep, I know nothing, but I know nothing, I'm aware of nothing. So the consciousness didn't, although the cycle is happening, the consciousness stayed. It wasn't part of that cycle. It stayed the same in the three three states in waking, dreaming, deep sleep. In every place, it's the same. Everything comes into being at some point and goes away at some point, changes, all these things. But we can't imagine that I'm not there, that I don't. That's why we have fear of death, because I think I will cease to exist. This is what happens. And actually, it's known, people that have had near-death experiences, they usually don't have fear of death afterwards, because they know they continue. So that fear, and they also experience of something great love in this, so then they know there's something great, you know, they're beyond just this, so no, not as afraid. But we're afraid we will cease to exist. But it says here, you can't cease to exist, right? As an individual, yes, the body mind will come and go, yes, but not as the consciousness, no. It's going to stay there constantly like this. So in this way. Now, one thing that happens, people say, okay, I want to find the consciousness. You're saying this one, I want to find Atma, I want to find Brahman, right? Like people say, they want to find God. As long as people try to find God other than themselves, they can never find it. Never find the God, because if you want to find the God out there, then the God out there, meaning it's going to be, how do you find God out there? It has to be through senses, or otherwise some internal experience, through some thoughts, some means, meaning that's limited, because the mind, it can't grasp something unlimited. How's it going to grasp something unlimited? Somebody has some experience and say, I experienced God. Last week I experienced God, it was very nice. But what to do? God ran out, you know, the experience went away. So I'm not pure, you know, mind's not pure enough, so couldn't stay with it, so went away. Meaning that, you know, nobody says you didn't have some experience, but to say that that was the experience of this, you can't say. So the thing is, when we want to say, I want to experience that one, then what happens just by doing that, I'm trying to experience it, I'm chasing something like I'm chasing the horizon, because you can't. I heard the space is there as at the horizon. Let me go to the horizon, I'm going to grab the space. But you can't be away from space, right? How can you be away from space? So the thing is, what's always there, you can't go and have a special experience, go and get it. So by doing this, we run after it. And then it's not that. And then it becomes similar to the story of the 10th boy that you're all familiar with from previous classes, I'm sure. So the 10th boy couldn't find, because always counting outside, not including himself, will never find. When the old man came and noticed what he's doing, he pointed it out, then it was very clear. So in this way, if I'm trying to get it, trying to find it, won't work. That again was from a question last week. I can't get to a Brahman, you know, level like that. There's no level. I'm there. It's just a question of understanding, this misunderstanding. Of course, other sadhanas can be good preparation, because the mind is too caught up in things, or too restless, I'm too much identified with things. Yeah, other things help to prepare, but it's when I know I'm the conscious being, I know I always am, always was, right? When you wake up from the dream, you notice the whole dream world was fake, but I was there throughout. I'm this one who is still the same one in the dream world. It's not that I woke up, that me in the dream world wasn't there. I wasn't in the dream, it was just illusion. No, I was there. What I saw was an illusion, but I was there. I was there, and I saw the dream. I witnessed the dream, but I was there just like I'm here now, same one. And you slept well? Yes, I slept well. How do you know? Yes, I had a good deep sleep. I knew nothing. It was great. Well, I know that I knew nothing. So always there. You can't run and find it. You have to do this viveka, the discrimination. What is the trikut? What is the drishya? Which is what we're working on in this text, okay, like this. So this is what happens, okay? Now, what happens also is, in most cases where we know ourselves up to the mind and then stop there, right? Like in the, we'll say, rupam drishyam lochanam drik, tadrishyam drik tu manasam, finished. No, that's where I'm at. Now, if we're just at the mind level, the mind is busy and moving and everything, and then I'm caught up in that movement and I stay there, right? I don't know there's anything further. And then I believe that I have very good faith in some God, in some religion or something like this, but that stays at the mind level still. I have some faith. Okay, faith. Where's faith? It's in the mind. So, boom. I have to go see there's something beyond, something behind that, something behind the mind too, or I will just stay there. And then I just don't go further. Now, the moment I observe the mind, meaning that I'm other than the mind, the moment I'm observing it, any limitation you observe your body. You're aware of the body, meaning it's limited. You feel the body, meaning it has some sensation. Beyond that is not body, meaning you're aware of that. You're aware of that limitation, so you, the observer, are beyond that limitation. So you're aware of the mind, there's some thought, there's some emotion, something, you're aware of it, so you're aware of its movement then, meaning that you're observing, you're beyond its limitation. So now, you're not limited by what is going on in the mind, by its limit. So just by the fact that you observe it, shows you're beyond it. When it's quiet, you're still there. Right? You're still there like this. And then because of the ideas in the mind, there's an idea, I'm this person. I take up that person. What do I mean, this person? When are you a person? Only when you think or identify as that idea. When you're listening intently, where's the person? Right? You're playing. A child's there. You're playing with them. You're playing. Are you a person? No, you forget that you're just playing. Right, you're in deep sleep. Where's the person? You're a person only when you identify with, when that idea comes to mind, you identify with it. Right? Otherwise, where's the person? So the person is an idea. And the interesting thing is also the thoughts come and go quickly, ideas come and go quickly, but I readily identify with them. Right? I'm conscious. Just like we said, seeing is constant. Forms come and go, but I'm all caught up in the objects coming, the forms coming and going, not in the seeing itself. Here it's the same thing. I'm aware constantly, and I'm aware, okay, the thoughts, emotions, things in the mind, they come and go, but I'm caught up in them, so I forget the fact that I'm the conscious being like this. Where they're ephemeral, they're there for a moment ago, come and go. They seemingly are conditioning myself as the consciousness, as the awareness, seemingly conditioning. But since they come and go, I'm still constantly there. But I'm so caught up in that aspect of it that I forget. So that's why one just stays at the level of the mind there instead of seeing them something beyond. And again, we just try to observe the mind just by observing the mind that I'm something beyond the mind, or how could I observe it? Like this. So these are some important points of this. And then also is, how does consciousness then observe the mind? Right? I see an object, right? I'm sitting here, there's the computer screen, there's the camera above. How can I see the camera that's on top of the screen here? I don't see it from the consciousness directly, I'm not seeing it, right? I have a means, the eyes, and of course mind, but let's just, to make it simple, the eyes are seeing, and then I can be aware of the seeing. So there has to be some instrument there for this. Now, how do I know there's a thought in the mind? I'm just aware of it directly. There isn't some other intermediary instrument, right? You're aware of the mind directly. So the Sakshi, the consciousness, directly is illumining mind. No, there isn't like something else. Because the luminosity of Sakshi is its nature. It's not something it's doing. But the thing is, the mind directly identifies something different. Identification is something which we'll talk about in just a bit. But the fact you're aware of the mind, it's direct. There isn't something else afterwards. There isn't something between. It illumines it directly like this, okay? So in this way. So directly, any other object, you need some means. But here, what means are there? if there was a means there, then okay, we'd have to point out something about the means, but what means are there? Like this. So that's why also when the mind is out, right, sleep, where's the world? Because consciousness can't directly connect to the world. It needs an interface. Just like you can't directly see me through Zoom, you need your camera. Can't see your other friends here. Well, I put the spotlight on me, so you only see me, but I see all of you like this. But the thing is, you can't see like that without the camera. You need the means like this, right? Some means are needed, but here, so because the means are taken away, where's the world? But no, but the mind directly, the moment there's mind, you're aware of it because consciousness revealing it directly like this, in this way. So the pure awareness, always there, never comes, it doesn't become more or less, doesn't go away, and it can't become more or less. If something can increase or decrease, means it was created and it'll go away altogether. Right? So consciousness isn't like that. Anything that increases, decreases will be gone at some point, will change completely at some point. So consciousness will always be there, right? And self-evident illumining principle doesn't need anything else to illumine, right? Doesn't need anything else. Everything else depends on something else in order to know. The eyes are seeing, they depend on the light outside. The mind is aware of the seeing, right? It's dependent on something, on functioning properly. Nerves functioning properly, something subtle functioning properly. All these things are depending on other things. Here, independent. This is the only place where it's really independent. Okay, we want to be in independence. That's the only place we'll find it. Like that. So now, the question comes then. Okay, so as consciousness, there's no problem. Sakshi awareness, there's no problem. No samsara for awareness. I'm just aware, right? Like the whole drama in the movie, the light makes no difference to it. It's not affected by it. Whatever type of movie is there, let it be comedy, let it be drama, horror movie, whatever you want, funny, this, that, action, the light is not affected, stays the same. So as Sakshi, I'm aware, I'm not affected by anything. Now, in something that jadam, insentient, also there's no samsara for that one, right? Does your stone in the garden have samsara? Your house doesn't have samsara, but something is happening to the house. You're worried or you're happy. Oh, they fixed the, I had that problem so long in the house, finally we fix it, I'm so happy, blah, blah. So then the house didn't have samsara, you had samsara. So that's a big question now that comes up. Okay, the insentient objects have no samsara, no problems. The consciousness has no samsara, no problems. How's the samsari born? Where does samsara come from? So that's what is going to be discussed now, like this. How in this, this whole mess comes through. If some time ago, I think it was some time ago in a different course that we had here, if you remember, there was one question, one of the questions you can never answer, and one of the questions said, why did God create the world? So we tackled it that time where we said, listen, don't blame the God because who created the world? No, this is what world? You're creator of my own mind I'm creating. So don't blame the God for, I mistake the snake and I blame the God, the rope for a snake, I blame the God, why is there a snake there? Don't blame the God for the snake. So don't blame the God for the world because you say God created, but the thing is, first see what it is. And then when, you know, it's meat, it doesn't. So like this. So in any case, so where does samsara say, why did God put me in this situation? We'll start saying that God did karma. I want to now do things in order to mitigate it, blah, blah. And we can do some things if we need to, no problem. But to go to the root of the problem, they identificate this learning, where, you know, how did it come into being, and which am I? When I know I'm the conscious being, no problem. So in any case, so this verse starts discussing this. Where, what is samsari? Where the samsari, the where did this limited individual come from? So let's see what it says. Chichaya veshato buddhau bhanam jistudvidha sthita ekaham kritiranyasyat antahkarana rupini. Chichaya veshato buddhau bhanam dhistudvidha sthita ekaham kritiranyasyat antahkarana rupini. The cognitive faculty in the inner instrument or antahkarana occurs due to the infusion of reflected pure awareness or chitti in the antahkarana, in the mind. The inner instrument is two-sided. One side is the doer, I. The other is the mind. Okay, so now what happens is we're going to the example of chit-chaya. Chit-chaya, if you remember, we also call this chidabhasa, chit, consciousness, right? Chaya or abhasa is reflected. So if you remember, we talked in previous courses, reflected consciousness. So chit, chaya, or chit, abhasa. Sanskrit becomes chit, chaya, and chit, abhasa, but it changed to a cha or a da, but it's the same thing, the reflected consciousness, right? So what happens is, when you have the light coming into the atmosphere, right here, in the earth, we have a good atmosphere, right? So the light comes in, and because of good atmosphere, it gets reflected in the atmosphere, and we have light everywhere. The sunlight we don't see directly. Go out into space, you don't see the sunlight. It's shining everywhere, but you don't see it, right? But in here, in the atmosphere here, during the day, it's shining all over. So what happens is it gets deflected by the particles within the atmosphere, and then because of that, we have the daylight everywhere. Within the daylight, I see everything else then. This is what happens. So this is how objects are seen here, whatever I see the whole world here, within the daylight. So now the consciousness is reflecting in the mind. Now, the mind, of course, what is the mind made out of? Lots of movements, lots of vrittis, meaning lots of thoughts. So reflects in the movement there. And reflects in the movement, and because of that, the movement of particles, light is, goes everywhere. Movement of the mind, the consciousness reflected in it, now it's reflecting everywhere. Now, I'm aware of so many things, right? Because it reflects in the mind and then. So this is what happens is, it's reflecting there. It has to reflect in the mind, right? Without reflection in the mind, how can it go further? Reflects in the mind. After reflecting in the mind, then it's going from there to, it's going to reflect to the body. The body's going to get secondhand, right? From the mind goes to the body. Now the body becomes alive. The senses become alive. I see the world, everything. All starts with reflection like that in the mind. Chidabhasa, chichaya here. And this chidabhasa is discussed, you know, more often than that. So in this way, indirectly, it's illuminating everything like that. Okay. Now, what happens then when you have a mirror? Then, of course, the image reflected in the mirror depends on the image. When I look into the mirror, I almost probably see somebody looks more like I'm used to seeing me. You look, it'll, you know, what you're used to seeing. If it'll look very different, you'll you'll be scared, right? You think, is this a dream? What happened? So it depends on the image. You put a person in front, you put an animal in front, the reflection. But, so some something, the, that the, the what is there is going to be reflected, but how it's going to reflect, what it look like, depends on the reflecting medium, on the mirror. Because you can have concave or mirrors that are all sorts of different things and make you look long and thin or short and fat or squiggly, all different things, upside down. So many possibilities are there, like this. Actually, one way to show how we create the world around us, one very interesting thing, they did this in a study. What happens is, when we see, we actually see things upside down, the mind flips it over. That's really, our mind is flipping it. So they did a test. They had these people, they put on these glasses that make everything look upside down, right? They flip it. And they have to keep it on for a while, like a day or so. After a while, after a few hours, they started seeing things right side up. The mind flipped it. So see how conditioned we are. I remember some years ago, my father was still alive, he brought this one thing, this small thing from New York Times. He said, just read this. So you read through the paragraph, or you just read through it. No problem, very simple. Now it says, now look carefully word by word. In many cases, a letter was missing or was upside down or was the wrong letter. But because you're so used to just reading through and it's close enough, you just added those things. So as you start seeing these things, how much I'm adding, how much I'm putting on to what I see is there, right? How much of it? So that's why everybody's worldview is different. Everybody's worldview is changing also. So of course the world is going to be full of drama. Everybody's thinking their view is right, and this is how the world is. But then before I realized I wasn't informed, now I really know. Now I'm more mature. Now I have more life experience. So now, yeah. So where does it end like that? So in any case, it depends on the reflecting medium, what it looked like, right? So be very clear reflection. It'll be, not clear because it's an old opaque mirror, things like this. So this one really is going to make a difference in how it is. So in any case, so the mind reflects the consciousness like this. So it reflects and then there's a reflected consciousness in there in this way. So that is the mind. That's how the mind comes to light. The mirror without the light coming onto it, how is it going to bring anything to light? It needs the light reflected in it. It doesn't have its own light, right? Now, when the light is on and something's reflected in the mirror, then you've two different things you can think of as reflected. One is the light itself, right? If you have the sun coming, because the sun, it's on, you can see, if you look, you see some of the sunlight coming out of the mirror. So meaning that what is reflected in the mirror, some of it is the direct light, and some of it is objects that are visible in the light, right? Those two things. One of them is the direct reflection light, just the light itself. One of them is objects, okay? Because the objects also, originally, they don't have their own light. They need that sunlight to be seen, whether it's outside or in the mirror like this. So these two are there. So now within my own mind, what's reflected is the consciousness itself will be reflected and other stuff will be reflected, right? Other stuff that I'm experiencing, these two. So these are two very, very different things. So you say, and they're in sanskrit, say aham and idam. Aham is I, right? I am, aham. Idam is this, meaning something else, some object. Object meaning, right? It's sparsha. What has it? Sparsha shabda ruparasa ganda. Sparsha touch, right? Shabda sound, rupa, right? Form, name and form or color form. Rasa taste, ganda smell, because that's the world. Without that, what do we have? Take away the five senses, where's your world? So in any case, so these two are there. Now these two, aham idam, this, I and this, they're totally separate things. They You know, one is Jaram, wasn't insentient. One is Aham, conscious being. They never meet. They can't. There's no way for the consciousness to meet with the objects. There's no possibility. There's no way for them to meet. What happens is there are two different levels of reality, we say. There's Paramartika Sat, Paramartika, Parama, right, the higher. So, or highest, Paramartika Sat, the absolute truth, Paramartika, supreme. And Vyavaharika. Vyavaharika is the objective world, objective reality. In this way, these two, Paramartika and Vyavaharika. Vyavaharika means objective, it also means transactional, because it's a transactional world. That's how the world works. Action is transaction. So these are two different levels. It's kind of like, can you shake the hands of the person you see in the mirror? You can't, because they're different levels of reality. One is just a reflection, one is the physical object. Right? Can you shake the hands with Mickey Mouse? Not Mickey Mouse, somebody standing in the Mickey Mouse costume in Disneyland, but in the movie. Now, if you say Mickey Mouse to little kids, they won't even know who you mean. You have to give them some of the newer characters. But when I was a kid, Disney meant Mickey Mouse. So can you shake hands with that Mickey Mouse in the cartoon? You can't. Can you shake hand with the character in your dream? Not in the dream now. The character in your dream going, you can't shake your hands, have a conversation with the character in your dream. The reason is different level of reality, right? You're here, the solid reality, that's some imaginary reality, so you can't, they're not the same level. So the consciousness, which is, you know, ultimate reality, the absolute truth, and the relative reality here, you can't, they can't connect. But somehow they're connecting in the mind, huh? Right? Because in the mirror, the light is there, the object you is there. You'll say, that's me in the mirror. Yes, that's me. Right? So somehow, very interesting. So the mind, these things are somehow both there. So in any case, so what happens then is like this. Okay, so these two are there. You have the reflecting surface, reflecting medium, the mind like this, the mirror of the mind, and then the light reflects and everything. So they're two totally separate things, consciousness and objects. There's no connection between, no connection really between the two. Now what happens is like this. The mind, it has movement, as we said, right? The mind is having movement all the time, it's changing. And what happens is, how can I mix the two up? How can the two be mixed up between the consciousness, between subject and object? Because actually the mind itself is part of prakriti. Prakriti, that which is ever-changing, which is pliable, which is moving, that's the world. It's part of the world. Is your body part of the world or something separate from the world? It's part of the world. The mind, the psychology also, is part of the world. It works by, right? It's subtle matter. Thought is subtle matter. It works by certain laws. Otherwise, how could anybody study, you know, people study psychology, meaning there's something that is common because there's some rules that are happening. It functions and mind functions in a certain way, like this. So it's part of the prakriti, part of the changing, part of the moving, changing. Part of the moving, changing, okay. So prakriti and purusha here, and if you take prakriti, you say purusha, so the consciousness is something else. They're two totally separate things, like this. But somehow, there's the movement there, and then becomes unclear, and avidya, the ignorance, somehow comes in, and then I identify with the moving part. I identify with the reflection. Literally, I'm identifying with the reflection, because the reflection then has, you know, is reflecting on the surface. The surface is changing, moving, the mind, and I identify with that. So that's why we say chaya is also shade. We say the individual, the person, is just a shadow. It's a shadow self. We identify with the shadow. But think of it. I feel the body, meaning it shows me I'm conscious, I'm aware. I'm thinking something, shows I'm conscious, I'm aware. Right? I'm a little disturbed, shows I'm conscious, I'm aware. You say something to me, makes me, you know, something nice and makes me happy. I hear it. I feel happy. It shows me I'm conscious, I'm aware. You say something nasty to me. So, oh, good. I hear it. I see what it does to me inside. It shows me I'm conscious and I'm aware. Everything is just reflecting, reflects the light of consciousness, shows you they're a conscious being, but I identify with how the reflection, how the reflection is there, skewed through the reflecting medium, and I identify with that. That's what happens. So this avidya comes in. And avidya comes in, and that says here, so you have the ahankritihi. Ahankritihi, ahankaraha, exact same thing. Just suffix a little different, but in Sanskrit it means exact same thing. Comes from the same ahankaromi. I'm the doer, doership. The sense of doership, I'm the one who does. Meaning doing, so I'm the one, so things are happening. I'm happening to me, and I'm doing things, and I'm talking, and I'm whatever activity. Mental movement is activity. So I identify with that, I identify with prakriti, with matter, dead matter, because matter isn't alive. I identify with that. And then now, from this, the samsari is born. Through the samsari is but the snake, right? They never meet the two. They can't meet, but somehow you manage to shake hands with Mickey Mouse, the real Mickey Mouse in there. Somehow this happens. In the mind. It can only happen by avidya, by error, by ignorance. It can't happen any other way. Right? Tonight we'll all dream like this about the Disney characters and we'll interact with them. We'll wake up, we'll say it was a dream. When you see it clearly in the light of the waking consciousness, you see it was a dream. Same way I see this clearly through viveka, through discrimination, I see that also this world is also as good as a dream. Now what happens is, you need the mind then to see the external world. The mind is just movement, it's reflecting the consciousness. Consciousness is not limited by it or anything. So it shows you, since the mind and the world are counterparts, without the mind you never have the world. You need the mind in order to have the world. Right? You have no mind, you have no world. Shows that since the mind is just movement, consciousness reflected in it. Without the consciousness reflecting, it won't be there. So what reality does the world have? As much as the mind has. No mind, no world. They're just counterparts. So the world has to be mithya. The only thing you see that is constant ever is the consciousness. Nothing else you ever see is constant. But again, due to extrovertness, then identify with all that. So what happens, this is a, gives a wonderful illustration of how this happens. There's the reflecting media like the mirror, which is the mind. Consciousness reflected in it. Pure reflection, just light, just like the sunlight in the mirror is just like the consciousness reflected in the mind. That's aham vritti, I am. That's why I am in the mind is the closest I can get to the absolute truth, because it's the direct reflection of just the consciousness. Aham, the word I in English, I don't know where it comes from because I don't know the etymology, but Sanskrit, the etymology is explain so many things. Aham, it means that the exact how you say it in the Sanskrit, something like nahanti, again, it could be a little different, but it means that which isn't destroyed. A is negation. Ham, the root han. Root han means to be destroyed. That which is never destroyed. So that is the real I, which isn't destroyed. Ahankara, doership, now it's changing. It's a mistake. So in any case, the aham is reflected. Aham, I am, reflected very clearly. And then objects are also reflected. And then you have within the mind reflected aham and idam. Aham is the consciousness. Idam is anything else, any objects, anything else that appears. So both are there. But then I identify with the movement in the mind. So this third thing is born. That third thing which is born is ahankara, or here ahankritihi, is the limited individual who is going through ups and downs, who is struggling, who wants to find God and is running there, wants to find happiness in the world, you know, is concerned about things, is happy some of the time, etc., etc. The samsari is born there. Samsari is but the snake, right? Like this. So there's Brahman, so Jivatma, the Jiva is, there's Brahman, meaning the consciousness, and body-mind complex. And avidya, the ignorance. The moment you have the ignorance, now there's Jiva, the individual. No ignorance, where's the individual? It's like you look in the mirror, you know it's a reflection. I'm aware of the body-mind, I'm aware, it shows me that I'm aware, it's the reflection. I'm the one who's aware of it. It's not, has nothing to do with, doesn't affect me, the observer, Sakshi, like this. So this is what happens. So this is how this is pointing out. Chichaya veshato buddhau bhanam. The consciousness reflects within the inner instrument, within the mind. Okay? So it reflects dvidhastita and then becomes as though two. It has the antakarana rupini, the mind stuff, which has many thoughts, many objects, and ahankritihi, and the ego, meaning I'm identifying with part of that. Part of prakriti I take is me, part of prakriti not me, and then I take that reflection of this is something solid, and then the whole drama starts, right, like this. So this is how this is pointing this out. Now this is discussing one of the two main, two very important prakriyas. Prakriya, an example or methodology. Now again, the what is being discussed here, it's not that this is exactly how everything is, but it very much helps to explain our experience and in order to how this experience comes around and what I really am. Once I know, you know, can be dropped. It's not written in stone, absolute truth. This is how it is. But it helps to explain it. Helps to explain how it is that I'm limited, why I'm not limited, etc. like this. So this prakriya is called the pratibimba. What is it going to be? Pratibimba chaitanyam? I think like that. Pratibimba chaitanyam, or as we said, chidabhasa. This is one way. The one thing, any method isn't the thing in itself. Any example isn't the thing in itself. So anything like that can work, help explain certain things, but it can't explain everything, right? Science is trying to find some theorems that'll explain everything, right? There was some scientist I saw a year or two ago on TED Talk. He looked pretty young, like in his 30s, whatever. Very, you know, and he had some big equation that probably just, you know, probably a few dozen or a few hundred people in the world really understand it. And he said, this equation here, it explains everything, why people, things are a certain size, why they have certain mass, why this, why that, all the things it explains. And it's like, you know, very long, complicated thing that I wouldn't know what to make any heads or tails out of it. He said, but can you see the one problem in it? What one problem? Within that whole thing, you point out one thing. You see this one, that variable, still we're not figuring out, but we're getting close. So, the whole world in one thing. So one method, they're never going to get to the one theory that grabs everything because they're still trying to, that thing is still the snake, right? It's not the thing in itself. But in any case, so this methodology, this prakriya, what happens is, for this one, you're still having the consciousness has to be separate from the medium. Light has to be separate from the and distant from the reflecting medium. So it's working. You know, it explains it very well, but just how can the medium be part of it? It's separate, blah, 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 like this. So that's just something that, you know, it doesn't explain that, but very much explains how as a conscious being I'm identifying as a limited being. Very much helps to, I'm a conscious being, how come I identify with the body-mind complex? It explains it very, very well as Sakshi, I'm not limited to it. So this one, this Pratibimba Chaitanya, this reflected consciousness is one way. The other one, which isn't mentioned here, but we can bring it up just in order to show the second prakriya, second methodology helps to show why there really isn't the duality. That one is called avachinna chaitanyam. Avachinna means to be limited. Avachinna. So avachinna chaitanyam, how it's limited. And this one says, okay, you're sitting in the room. Okay. So the room has space, there's space in the room. So we call it Matakasha, room space. Very good. And then there's that, and there's the total space, Mahakasha, the total space. There's both of them. Now what happens is the room there, you know, like this house I'm sitting in, it's almost 100 years old. The space in this room is feeling very restless because for 100 years it's been wanting and wanting to merge with the total space. It's feeling very, very, you know, working very hard, did so much sadhana and still hasn't merged with the total space. Now the city comes and says that house is too old, walls are falling apart, sorry Gajanan, you have to get out because we're going to tear it down. So they tear the house down. Now this room space has become one with the total space, right? Now, was the room space ever separate from the total space? It was never separate. There was an upadhi. The walls are within the space, so it seems to be limited. Seems that it's limited here. Seems the conscious, the space here is limited, and the total, separate from the total space, it isn't really. You can't separate space. There's no such thing as that. Everything, all objects, everything is within the space. So similarly, as the consciousness, everything you experience within the consciousness within the body, and the total consciousness, right? Break down the identification of the body and mind. Oh, now I'm free in this. Consciousness is consciousness, never limited by anything. Seems to be because the identification with the upadhi, with the body-mind complex. So that's the avachinna chaitanyam, that the consciousness seems to be limited. So again, that's here it's not discussing that, but that's also important to know that one too, because the question will come up, well, how do you explain that the separation here, it's that, you know, that there seems to be a duality. That one is, that example is to show how there, you know, there isn't really the duality. There seems to be a duality in this way. Okay. So in this way. So these are a few points on this. This very important, this specific verse, very important, really explains this, Pratibhima Chaitanya, or here as or Chidabhasa, explains it very well. Very, very good to think about, take time to review, think about it, understand it. Because it's totally showing you how, as the conscious being, how I've become identified with the limited one. How much? Just by identifying with the reflection instead of the original. You try to look in the mirror. You look in the mirror, you see reflection. That reflection is you, but you're not limited by it. Right? Same, you're in there, but you're not limited by. I'm aware of the mind. Right? In the mind. So any thought there, it's illumined by me. There's idea, I'm this, I'm that. Those are thoughts. I'm illumining them. They come and go. They'll be gone, I'm still there. The mirror's gone, I'm still there. Whatever changes seem to happen, you know, because the way the mirror is skewed, because imagine it was a flexible thing, the mirror, you keep flexing a different way, it looks different. You remain the same. All these different things within me come and go and change, but I'm remaining the same. How can it be? It can only be because it's a reflection, it's not you. If it was you, then you would change as well, but you don't change. So this verse really in a nutshell, explains this very nicely and clearly, that I'm the original consciousness, as we said in other classes. We said original consciousness, OC. I'm not the RC, the reflected consciousness, meaning I remember the dream. I am the one in the dream, the reflection, but that the whole dream was an imagination, but I was there. I'm aware of it, yes. So all my experiences, I'm aware is in and through them, yes. Yeah, I'm the one who's in and through them, but the experiences themselves are just, you know, moving to the mind, not the thing in itself, not me, like this. So this is what this helps to point out. Let's finish here then for today. Om. Om. Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So as always, before we conclude, if anything was unclear, please.
May I ask a question?
Yes, absolutely.
So I just want to make sure I, in verse 6, in that last line then, if you look at the translation, the inner instrument is two-sided. One is the doer, I, and the other is the mind. So if we take the terminology, that would be, the doer, I, would be ahankara, and the other one would be aham. Is that correct?
No. Bhanam, the light that's reflected, that's aham.
Okay.
Here it's becoming, now the mind itself is prakriti. It's the reflection of the mirror. Here it's going to be all the other stuff in your mind. You're thinking of something in the mind, meaning it's an object. Now your mind is subject and object. Because look, you see us on the screen, it's loaded in your mind. That's idam, this. Those are my friends. Aham, I'm the one who's seeing them. I'm the one interacting with them. So that's where it becomes two. Here's the two that was discussed. That you're suddenly separating. You're taking part. There's aham idam. You're taking part of idam, making and putting on the aham side and mixing it with aham. So that's what ahankara is. The reflects. And there's some change, so you're identifying with that change and reflect with the reflection that seems to be changed. You're identifying with that part, but not the other. The mirror, you're identifying you in the mirror and objects, two different things. But it's all just object. You look in the mirror, it's all object. We're identifying with part of the picture, like that. That's, yeah, so that's here. The hum isn't part of that because the antakara rupini, there it's going to be, you know, anything else in the mind, because your mind think of it. Whenever you think of anything in the mind, you think of something, there's the object and I'm thinking of it. There are two there, two living, and that when you is you the individual, the moment you're thinking of it.
Okay.
So skewed aham. Aham. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, because this important point like this, because the when we started, we brought that aham is the light itself. Not the moment here, then it became skewed into something else. Made a little more complex adding that aham part. You want to just remove the aham and just say there's those, you can do that to make it simpler. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. So unless there are any other questions or something. So, you know, take your time, look at this. Next next week we can discuss if at the beginning if there are any questions about, because this one, we want to be clear about ourselves, not have any confusion about ourselves. Confusion, then all the trouble is there. Very good. So you're the same regardless when you are, where you are, right? Whether you're in Eastern or Western Hemisphere, whether it's evening or middle of the night, right? Soren is helping show us that. You're the same one in any case. So have a good week, and then we'll meet next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.